It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's going on, guys? Your boy, Ike Feldman, is here for another pre-recorded episode of the Iketagon. I know, I'll get back to the live stuff. I know you guys like the live stuff. Leave me a voicemail. I will replay it. 646-820-9848. Again, 646-820-9848. I will replay the voicemail if you guys sound fairly decent. But on this episode, your boy, Ike Feldman, is being joined by none other than Eli Evangelista, Eli AB, Eliab MMA on Instagram. He's a Flex Fight Series 22 winner from this past weekend. He is also a member from one of the most prestigious gyms in the world, Henzo Gracie in Manhattan. He also won this past weekend the ISKA Bantamweight title. Here is my pretty quick conversation with Eli. Enjoy.
Did you hydrate? Good. Get ready for another round inside the Iketagon.
What's up, everybody? Your boy, the fight fan of all fight fans, is here. Ike freaking Feldman here with another fantastic Flex Fight Series guest. I spoke with Darren LaMantia last week, who went into the fight, got the job done. Now, somebody else on that card, Flex Fight Series 22, who went in there, got the job done. Now, post-fight week, he says he's bulking up. We'll talk about that more. Eli Evangelista at Eliab, E-L-I-A-B, MMA on Instagram. He is a Team Henzo Gracie fighter. He is now the newest ISKA, ISKA Bantamweight champion. Eli, my brother, what's up, dude?
What's up, man?
I'm doing good, man. You got to be on cloud nine still. Is that correct?
You know, I feel like I've done it so many times, it all just feels normal at this point.
Wow. I like it. I like it. Where does that confidence come from?
From losing so much as a kid.
In terms of what? Is this like hopscotch? Is it tic-tac-toe? What type of losses?
It's like everything I did. If I was in a soccer team, the soccer team would lose. When I started jiu-jitsu as a little kid, like, you know, just that, like, I lost like every competition. I got a lot of second place trophies, but that's because it was just two of us in the division. When I started wrestling in high school, I lost like the first 12 matches, you know, so I lost a lot. So now it just doesn't bother me anymore.
So it was that part of the character building, like that you can only go up, basically?
Yeah, man, I guess so. You know, and like I have like immigrant parents, so everything like what was taken so seriously, even like in kids sports. So then like when I grew up, I was like, I want to do it. I want to continue doing it, but I don't really want to take it as serious, which is why it seems like I'm always having fun in there, because I am.
Wow. Yeah. My father's an immigrant parent, not my mother. He's from Israel. It was the opposite. He goes, why are you wasting your time with this? He goes, get a job. I'm like, I'm 14. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there you go.
I respect it. So your parents, what country do they hail from?
Well, Brazilian.
Oh my God. You got Brazilian blood in like the Brazilian jiu-jitsu capital, in the United States at minimum, in Henzo Gracie in the Manhattan facility. Amazing, man. So was it just like already written in stone that you saw Jose, you saw Anderson, the Nogueira brothers, Shogun, Lyoto, and you're like, oh yeah, this is just, it's my path.
Not really, man. It's like, if I remember the first fight I ever watched, MMA fight, was Anderson Silva versus Vitor Belfort. So it was just two Brazilians beating the shit out of each other. So in my head at that point, like fighters were all Brazilian. That's what I thought. I was like, yeah, you know, so, but it was never something that like came to my head. I was fat as a kid. So like, to me, it was never like, you know, something I was going to do. Right. But then, I just got into it later in life, but yeah, it just that kind of happened. I mean, I ended up here at the academy because, my dad is Henzo's barber, and then that just kind of all worked out well.
So there's no excuse why you'll ever have a hair out of place, correct?
That's correct. But like anyone will tell you, the only time I usually have a haircut is when I have a fight. Besides then, I'm looking like a caveman most of the time.
I like it. I like it. It kind of like puts you in a certain mindset. Maybe it seals it at home. I've seen many a times that fighters, they'll look like they're begging for money, but and then you're like, oh hey, I didn't recognize you. You're like, oh come in.
My dad refuses to let me fight without a haircut. He says I'll make him look bad, especially because he is one of my sponsors. So he said, there's no way I'm fighting without a haircut ever.
And you did not look bad at all this past Saturday, man. I texted your manager, Michael Kim, watching your performance. It was just, you were just from the beautiful entrance, man. Just like the flow. I think you like captivated the entire venue with your energy. Like you turned everything over. It was a very interesting song. I believe you said it was Minnesota. And that obviously... behind the curtain, folks, I'm editing. We just introed Eli with the Minnesota song, but this is it was beautiful, man. The performance, the walkout, and of course the bright smile. Take me through Saturday night.
Let's see. We got there to the venue. It was around 6:30. Only okay, fought
a little
at
fast
like...
forward. I'm hitting the fast forward.
A little fought at like 12. All right, so that was like the one thing to start. We were there for a while, but man, it's, you know, like I said, at this point, everything is feels a little normal, right? So we're back there. I get no nerves, like zero, like you know, it feels like another day. I get more nerves when I have to spar the guys from here, you know, when I have to spar my teammates. Like you got Yorok, like you know, kicks me in the head every day, you know. Yeah, so really, there's no nerves going in. And that started about like 2 years ago, probably, where I just like felt nothing when I go in there. And it's just fun, bro. You know, I get there, I get to walk out. I get to, you know, play a song that puts me in a happy murder mood, like I told you. And then I get in there and I do what we train, you know, the entire time to do. It's like 9 minutes to just do what I've been doing for like the last 8 weeks, you know? So again, everything feels pretty normal.
You seem like you were in the, and again, we're being joined by Eli Evangelista. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm sorry if I mispronounced. Follow him on Instagram, Eliab, Eli, A-B, MMA on Instagram. It just seemed like you were in the Matrix when you were out there. Like everything seemed slowed down. It was at your pace. And then when the opportunity presented itself, you went in for the kill and it was beautiful, man. Is that, if you could take us behind the scenes at the Renzo Gracie Academy, is that how the sparring sessions go? You're just very relaxed or?
Yeah,
just...
like every time. We don't try to kill each other. We have fun. We try to do, we try as much stupid shit as possible. And if we get hit for it, get hit for it. And if it works, it works. And then we play off that, you know? But Wiley, we're very like, we're tacticians here, man. You know, like before I even touch you, I'm going to make you tired already. I'm going to faint my way. I'm going to step in and out, make you strike when you don't want to strike. You're going to have a very uncomfortable time. And I'm going to ask you if you're having fun, but I know you're not having fun.
Amazing. Do you have like one of the best gas tanks you've ever been around? Like whether it's rolling on the mats or whether it's sparring?
Yeah, like the explanation I got for it from one of my like old coaches is he said I have fat boy lungs. So he said that I shrank down, but my lungs stayed expanded. So I'll take that. I mean, it's proven to be true so far.
You know what? That might be a real thing. I used to be 200 plus in high school, big old boy playing football, and then just lost about 50, 60 pounds and yeah, maybe to think maybe we could sing opera if we wanted, but I have pretty good cardio when it comes to like,
yeah, but the gas tank stays around.
I respect it. And you know what else stays around, right? The fat. No, we're moving on. Eli, yeah. It's a privilege to be training where you are, man. It's really like a headquarter for jiu-jitsu for the U.S., potentially the world. You obviously had the Danaher Death Squad, but I have no doubt the next wave or the next instructor is going to pop out. It's like a think tank in that academy. It's just when you walk in, there's something like it built into the walls, like the spirit about it. How much is it a privilege to be training with the team that you are?
Bro, it's the biggest privilege. Like you said, with Danaher, right? And like I got to train with him for a few years before he went to Texas, and And of course, like having John leave sucked, right? But then we forget about the other instructors that I have here that weren't getting the shine that are incredible as well. Why? Because all these guys are like all trained together. You know, it wasn't like John and then everybody else. No, these guys are all trained together. They all have the same knowledge, you know? And so like, even after he left, it's not like the level went down at all. You know, we all still, again, the instructors carry the same knowledge, the same skill sets, the same teaching ability. So the team was, even afterwards, just it all stays steady, man. It all stays steady.
I respect it. And I'm sorry if I missed it. Did you receive your black belt yet?
No, I'm a purple belt. I got a purple belt in like 2020, bro? Before John left? Yeah, I got it from John right before he left in 2020.
And do you try to like level up in between camps? Will you jump in to gi or no gi class?
So like the whole thing with like training camp, right? Like, you know, everyone has like this big thing we call training camp. We don't really do that here. Our training camp is it just means we're gonna kind of increase the intensity of the training, but we're training about just as intense all year round. That's like why that. Like I can jump into fight next week. Might not make 135 next week, but. Like, I'll jump in there to fight because we're always ready, you know?
And what are your goals for the rest of the year? Do you want to fight two more times, one more time?
Probably fight two more times.
You got the strap now.
Yeah, I mean, that was the last amateur, so it's pro now.
Woo! So
I'm going to get two pro fights in this year, hopefully.
Wow. Are you looking at ROC? CFFC is Mr. Mike Kim of Wolf Sports. Is he?
I'll let Mikey Kim take care of that stuff, man.
Okay. Amazing, man. And real quickly, I'll cut this up and I'll send it to Mike and he'll be so happy. How is it working with Mr. Kim?
Well, Mike's the best, bro. You know, it's like he's whatever I need from him, he always lets me know that he's there, you know. And like I try not to bother Mike as much as I can, you know. If I don't really need something, I'm not gonna bother him, but I know that he's always there, you know. And like now, since we are going pro, I know that he's going to just put in as much work as possible to get me the best fights, because I see him doing it with my teammates and other guys that he works with. Like, I know that Mike is fantastic, right? So, of course, there's all these big management companies and other management companies have reached out, but, like, I don't care. I'm very, like, a very personal person. You know, if, like, I don't know you, I'm not going to let you manage me. Like, I don't know who the fuck you are. You're going to manage me. You know, Mike knows me. Mike's been here since I was, you know, 20 years old. I'm 23 now, so I've known Mike for a while. So I prefer that over big name any day, because it only takes time to be a big name, and that's going to happen very soon for Mike Kim.
It's true, man. He is he's a manager's manager. I know Ali Abdelaziz trained on the mats. I believe Henzo's as well. But you can't knock it. You're like, you have to respect it that Mike is paying everybody to get his brown belt. No, I'm just kidding. You have to respect it that Mike is probably just grind. Mike is grinding away on the same mats that you guys are training to go to battle. I respect it as well.
He trains with like he does the 4:30. They have like a rolling class, and then
like a.m. Like
a regular class. No, 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think Mike comes in the morning. I don't blame him. That's early.
I don't blame anybody. I remember a friend texted me when I was living in Brooklyn. He's like, "You want to meet me at the 6 a.m.?" I was like,
"That's insane."
I'm not feeling good, man. I'm not feeling good, but that is beastly. Again, we're being joined by Eli Evangelista at ELIAB MMA on Instagram. He's a very enthusiastic and exuberant spirit about him. He talks the talk, he walks the walk, but he carries himself with an amazing smile. I think it's $1 million smile, man. And I'm glad to get you
that,
on,
bro.
Right before you turn pro, I'm glad I get you now, because in 10 fights, you're going to be like, what? Who? Nah. But is that, as you said earlier, is it because the just maybe people around you are so serious that it's like to pull the Joker line, like, why so serious? And you're just enjoying the process and everything you do?
You want to know like the real, like, because so all that stuff, right, that I told you about, you know, losing as a kid, that all plays a part, but like, okay, what really like changed it, because if you look at any fight I had up until 2020, which was like right before the pandemic, I tried to take in that like serious mood. So what happened is I was 21, made great friends, and they told me to take mushrooms. I took mushrooms, and I realized this ain't really that serious. And amazing. I realized also, like, yo, I'm like, I have a fucking good team, and I'm pretty fucking good. So we're just gonna go in there and have fun. And so yeah, it was the mushroom gods, bro.
So that's real. Like, I listen to Rogan a lot. He's like, you see like different dimensions of what's in front of your face.
Yeah. It's pretty real. Like, you just see like everything that happened to you and like everything like happens. I've seen like everything I've gone through, my parents have gone through, right? And then it's like everyone takes fighting so seriously, and it's just like we're half naked in a cage beating the shit out of each other, bro, with drunk people cheering for us in the audience. It ain't that serious, you feel me? It's just supposed to be a good time. And that's what I take in there every time.
Wow. It's funny because that's kind of the gear shift that I don't know if you heard Corey Sandhagen on Rogan. He said he was going in against Marlon Moraes and against Frankie Edgar, like with this war and rage mentality. And then he had to change it post Aljo loss. And then he had to change it again post Dillashaw and Jan loss. And he said, man, I prepare so hard. I do so much around the fight. Why can't I just enjoy the moment? And now he says he's just like playing a video game with himself. He's not going in there like life or death. And I respect it, especially if the results are matching it. And your results are matching as well, man. You are in the flow, in the zone. Was that your best performance?
I mean, I don't know. Like there's a lot that like I wanted to do that I didn't do because what I was doing was working pretty perfectly. So why change the recipe if it's working, right? But I mean, every time you guys see me, like every time you guys see me fight, it's not the same fight ever. It's a different style. It's a different stance. It's a different game plan. I am impossible to study because I will never fight the same. You understand? It's like, you know, we're not meant to like just be linear. It's supposed to be up and down. Like everything is supposed to be different. You know, this one I was more upright, more high guard, just walking forward. My last one I was slick, hands down, you know, throwing combinations to the wind. The one before that I was just grapple heavy, you know, back and forth. Every fight will be very different.
And is this because what you're studying or just like what you feel as soon as your feet touch the canvas?
A little bit of both, right? I study my opponents like crazy, right? Like, and especially a kid like Stan, if you don't study him, he's going to head kick you several times, you know, because he does it right off his hand strikes. He's very fast, real explosive with those kicks. But also, like, I don't just study my opponents. I study myself and I study other fighters, like, all the time. If I'm not here training, I'm at home smoking weed watching fights, bro, you know?
I respect it. Do you have any go-to movie? Like, I don't know, some, my brothers like to get creeped out when they're a little toasty, like or you watch the superheroes or a Joker movie? Do you like when, to watch comedies? Yeah,
I watch cartoons, bro. That's my shit.
Okay, Rick and Morty
sometimes. I like to watch like cartoons that aren't like that you don't have to think, right? So it's like SpongeBob. like regular show is my shit. It's like 11-minute episodes, but when you're high, they feel like they're an hour. And it usually makes no sense, anything that's going on. It's not a linear story. You don't have to keep track of what's going on. It's just a bunch of idiots in a
called regular show?
It's called regular show. It's amazing.
Even the name is funny. Have you ever seen Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
No. I have seen like the cover and stuff, but I've never watched the show.
Check it out. I think you'll like it. It's a long, no more than like 14 minutes. It is very short and it's ridiculous.
I'm going to check that out then.
I think you really like it. My last thing, again, thank you for the time. Before the interview, you mentioned that you hate Jews and I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, everybody. Before the interview, you mentioned that you also work at the gym.
Yes, sir.
And I mentioned to you that the person that I interviewed last week, the fighter, Darren Lamontillo, he's living upstairs, a mutant MMA. You working at the gym, training at the gym is just, I think, a huge reason why you're going to be successful in this sport, in this art, in this discipline of fighting. why in your mind will you be successful? And now that you're turning pro, this is the perfect time, I believe, to lay out for the audience why exactly you are going to be successful in mixed martial arts.
I mean, I think it's just because I have fun, man. And it's like, I have fun because I have like a great like support system behind me, you know, like my team and everyone that's just around here in general, you know, like shout out to the homies eating salad right here behind me. All right. You know, these guys are always with me, bro. You know, like through every step of the way, like every time. And like, that's why, you know, like, again, it's like I told you before, they make sure I don't stress about shit, you know, especially when I have a fight coming up. And that just lets me be like as relaxed as possible to go into a fight. And I know that not everyone has that privilege, bro. And like, I understand that, you know, and just, well, I'll never take any of this for granted ever.
I appreciate, you know,
and
it.
Yeah. Just get to have fun and fucking whoop some ass.
You are present, man. And you are not taking it for granted. I do respect it. Eli Evangelista. I hope I nailed it at least on the last one.
That was perfect, bro.
ELIABMMA on Instagram. Eli, I appreciate the time and I hope we can catch up before your pro fight.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro.
Man, I'm going to keep testing out my jokes. If they don't work, then I'll make sure to never see these guys and people in person, because then they will chase me down. Like I said, I got to make sure my cardio is on point in case I say the wrong what would it be, off-color joke or something that somebody doesn't like. But we keep it gravy, baby. It's all love. And Eli is full of love. I really appreciate the time. Dude is talented, composed, but most importantly, and what makes him stand out to me in my eyes, is his Modelo fighting spirit. No. Is his just enthusiasm for the task and the enthusiasm for the mission, the objective. And I really appreciate it. And I think there's a amazing chance we're seeing Eli fighting in the UFC. So glad I got to speak with him for a couple minutes. Also, this past weekend, we had, my debut on a broad live fight night broadcast desk for Flex, which was also pretty incredible. Pretty awesome to be a part of Flex, growing with the team, learning bit by bit every single event, just diving headfirst and enjoying everything. Another thing Flex did terrific was put on the Ryan Garcia versus Javante Davis fight. Man, terrific performance by Tank Davis. Really made Ryan Garcia look slow. Everybody believed, I believe, that Ryan Garcia would have the speed advantage. But what did Conor say post-UFC 194 against Jose Aldo? Timing beats speed. And I'm just burping up, man, with all these burrito bowls. Timing beats speed, precision beats power, and that was Tank Davis. Amazing game plan, but also to execute the game plan and not being swallowed up by the moment. Tank Davis is the elite of the elite. I believe it's 28 for 30 knockouts. Add a body shot to the canvas, to the mantle. Unbelievable performance. I don't believe Ryan Garcia's stock goes down at all, if any. He was young, still young, when he took this fight. What is he, 23, 24? There's a reason why Floyd and Tank are working together. They pick Garcia ripe for the picking. And really delivered an amazing performance. Really one of the best performances we saw in boxing. And I'm very excited to see the rematch. No, it won't be an instant rematch. I believe we're going to see two or three opponents in between before we get that fight again. We're going to see the guys build up their confidence, pad their record. For Tank, very hard situation, because where do you go from here? You seem like you're knocking on the door of elite fight after elite fight, whether that's Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, George Kambosos, Devin Haney. it's really hard to see him going backwards, but I would not be surprised if he takes a tier two fight to just kind of cool the jets, recuperate, or he just does every 8, 9, 12 months, just these mega fights. Is the next one Devin Haney? Maybe. That would be terrific. Or Lomachenko, whoever wins that fight. Shakur Stevenson. Just so many options at the lightweight division. Guys who fight from 130 to 140. Just so many options. For Garcia, you will 100% see him take a step back and fight two or three tier two guys in the coming 18 months, 24 months. I believe the rematch will happen in 2025. And I think it will be just an even bigger fight. I don't think we lost much stock from either of the fighters for what this fight meant, what the buildup was, what the draw was, the attention that was brought to it. And, of course, it was an off night for Garcia. As I said, just young, impatient, and just needs to be directed in the right way. You hope Oscar De La Hoya steps down from management to really be boots on the ground with Ryan Garcia. I think that's the difference. Floyd is boots on the ground. He's still sparring, lives a clean life, in phenomenal shape, still making money with his body. That's the difference between Floyd Mayweather as an overseer and Oscar De La Hoya as an overseer. So, terrific fight. Very excited for what the future holds of boxing. Boxing is hot, man. Boxing is back. Make sure you guys follow, whether that's Brian Campbell, Dan Canobio, all the great boxing analysts and media members. I am very excited to be really getting into the sport now. It started with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder 2018. He watched here, there, but man, post-Floyd era, maybe Floyd was like a cog in this whole drain, just padding his own record, but now it seems that now that Floyd is past official fights and now he's just fighting exhibitions, we are in an excellent spot. Bellator 295 happened. Shout-outs to James Gonzalez, Suffolk's own, for going the distance on short notice against Aaron Pico, the number 3 Bellator featherweight fighter. I hope that Bellator rewards him long-term with a nice contract to keep James busy and on the right track, the track to stardom and championship status. Sergey Pavlovich got it done against Curtis Blaydes with a knockout. Blaydes wanted to box. He got some success, and then he got overconfident, got dropped and finished by Pavlovich. Also on the Bellator 295 card, Rafion Stotts loses to Patchy Mix, who I think moves to 20-1 with the fantastic knee that culminated the Bellator Bantamweight Grand Prix. Phenomenal performance by Patchy Mix. Rafion Stotts, no doubt about it, will be back. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Iktagon. Aaron Rodgers is a Jets. Go listen to his press conference. I love you. The Jets love him. Jet fans love him. And hopefully Rodgers will love New York and will be able to handle the New York media. Man, it is a great time to be a New York sports fan. Go Knicks. Go Jets. Go Mets. Go Aljamain Sterling. Your boy is out. Peace.